Welcome everyone to another episode of After Deck. I'm your host, Kate Chastain. This episode has been a long time coming. You can think of it as a crossover episode in many ways, because the below deck worlds are colliding like a misguided yacht into the cliffs, because today I've called up and I'm talking to Below Deck Mediterranean's chief stewardess, Hannah Ferrier. She and I are good friends, and we've commiserated many times over many things, including charter guests from hell, disrespectful crew members, and what it's like to work with Chef Ben. And this episode is also particularly funny because while I was chatting with Hannah, I had none other than Captain Lee just happened to call in the middle of it. And so he makes a guest appearance, surprise. So now, without further ado, this is something I like to call a tale of two chief stews. I hope you all enjoy my conversation with Miss Hannah Ferrier. So today on After Deck, I am talking to my counter yin and yang soulmate chief stew of Below Deck Mediterranean, Hannah. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good, Kate. How are you going?
I'm great. So you're in Sydney, Australia right now, right?
I am, yes. It's Friday morning.
It's tomorrow there. What's tomorrow like?
Oh, it's amazing. Fruitful and not a hangover in sight.
That does make it nice.
It does.
What'd you do last night?
I had a friend's birthday, took my dad out for dinner, but managed to kick everyone out by midnight, so it wasn't too bad.
You're getting more responsible, Hannah. Does that scare you?
It does. It does. I actually was just talking to a girlfriend, and I'm 31 in a few days, and I went, 30 was so fun because you had the big event to plan and you were hitting your 30s, and 31's just f***ing depressing. I'm getting scared.
Well, you're definitely growing up. You kicked everyone out by midnight. Who are you? I don't even know you anymore.
We can't be friends anymore. That's just ridiculous behavior.
I really loved turning 30 because it kind of validated, like, when you're in your 20s, you should be having a nightlife and a social life and out in the club. But once you turn 30, you're like, you know what I want to do Saturday night? I want to stay home, watch Golden Girls in my pajamas.
But yeah, do my laundry.
But I can because I'm 30.
Exactly. You're more justified doing nothing these days than kicking people out at midnight. So
yeah, it's grown up, not boring.
Yeah. I think I've still got a few more years of actual growing up to do, though.
I think you still have a few more years of having a good time because you're always having a good time. You travel a lot between south of France, Australia,
yes.
And tonight you're flying to Tahiti.
Thailand.
There's a T, there's an H, there's a silent I. I mean,
there's lots of beaches, there's cocktails, it's basically
there's palm
the same
trees
place.
Yeah. You're in Australia though. Were you there when your country voted in favor of gay marriage equality?
Yes, I was. I'm so happy. And so I went out with my gay husband to a drag queen cabaret show, because that's what you do. And then went and watched there was like 5,000 people walking down Oxford Street. So it was actually the most amazing vibe. Like, there was people crying, and it's just been such a long time coming. To be honest, it was a waste of $120 million, but that's just my personal opinion.
What cost $120 million?
The vote, it cost us, like, the taxpayers $120 million to do, and then it didn't even actually get to the point where it went, okay, if it's voted yes, then it's going to go through. It's basically, we voted yes, and now it goes to the government, which should have just had the backbone to make the decision in the first place, but...
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, so you have a husband, a gay husband? I do, too.
Gusband. Oh, you do?
Yeah. What's your husband's name?
His name's Milad. We've been together for 13 years now. I think it's love.
Moving on from social life to wildlife, Australia is pretty well known for its wild animals. I mean,
yes.
Is Tasmanian devil a real thing?
It is, yes. I actually have a family holiday in Tasmania every year, so they're down there. In Tasmania.
Where in Tasmania? My first chief stew ever is from has a family house in Hobart.
Oh, yes, that's the capital. I think it's like Coles Bay. I'm so bad. My dad just books everything and I just rock up and drink wine.
It seems like you and dad are super close. It was just darling. He's South African though, right?
Rhodesian, Zimbabwean.
Do you think that you have a different accent because of that? Cause I don't feel like you have a very strong Australian accent, but that could have been yachting as well.
I think it's a combination of yachting and then also my parents both have strong Rhodesian accents.
So I did, speaking of wildlife, back to that, I did see that on Twitter you posted a photo of something that looked like a possum with bat ears.
Oh yeah, no, that's just an Australian possum. They're actually really scary looking.
I mean, all possums are pretty creepy. This is really funny. So I was in Fort Lauderdale going vintage shopping with Amy Johnson, my second stew, like a year ago.
Yep.
And I'm about to check out, and she comes prancing up while I'm standing in line, so proud of herself, wearing this fur vest. And she was, like, kind of, like, teasing me, like, haha, look what I found. And I was like, okay, well, let's see what kind of fur it is. And it said it was
not possum.
It was Australian possum. And she started freaking out and screaming, get it off me, get it off me. And I was like, that I was sending her screenshots of, like, how Australian possums carry diseases and stuff and like the most frightening photos. She did not buy the vest.
Yeah, no, that's like basically wearing a rat.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It was a pretty furry rat. So what's the craziest wildlife interaction you've had in Australia?
It wasn't me actually, but I dated this guy and I went up to meet his family and his mother had like a massive black eye. And I asked her what it was for, and she was out in the garden trying to shoo the kangaroos away from the herbs, and one of them just punched her straight in the face and gave her a black eye.
Yeah, they kick, don't they?
They do. They kick and they punch. There's like boxing kangaroos. So, and I don't know what it was about this particular visit, but we were like having tea in like the downstairs parlor area in the afternoon. And she was talking to me and literally right behind her, this cow came and mounted this other cow and started humping, but it was like right next to her face. So I'm trying to have this conversation with her and these two cows are going at it in the background. So it was a very interesting first time I'd met the parents visit with her with a black eye and then the cows humping in the background.
That's a great icebreaker for when you're meeting the parents. So do you spend much time in Zimbabwe? Do you ever go back or did your dad just kind of settle in Australia?
No, so I went twice when I was younger, but I wouldn't go back there now. I've been to South Africa. A lot of my family's migrated down there. And then, but my mum's family, yeah, they're in South Africa, so we don't go back there anymore.
Did you get into yachting in Australia? No, you went to Antibes, didn't you, Fran?
Yeah, I did.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got into yachting, because I'm curious.
So it was actually really funny. So I was in corporate IT and telecommunications here in Sydney, and I went on a trip with my mum and basically fell in love with the south of France. And here in Sydney, I had like a beautiful BMW convertible, an apartment overlooking the water, a really successful job. But I was still really young. I was like 22, 23. So I came back and literally put into Google, what can you do speaking English in south of France? And yachting came up. I was like, oh, I can do that. I can make a bed. So I went and did my courses and got on a plane like 2 months later and gave up my whole life, dumped the boyfriend and went and joined yachts. And I thought it was going to be for a year.
I thought I was only going to do yachting for a year, too. That's what we all say. Speaking of boyfriends, how's your dating life right now?
It's going well. I'm dating a few people.
A few,
kind
okay.
I'm keeping my options open.
Okay. Anybody you're leaning towards, or what's your type?
I'm actively trying to date people that are not my type. It's kind of getting to that stage of the love life where you're like, okay, I usually go for like good looking, tall, extrovert, salespeople, company owners. Now I'm going like, I need to find like a shorter introvert that's more cute than handsome. Like I'm trying to go the opposite way of what I usually date because, you know.
Because you're 31.
Years. Yeah, and it hasn't been going so well, so.
Maybe change your Tinder to, I'm looking for somebody who wants to watch Golden Girls on a Saturday night.
Ah, that might work. Okay, yeah. I'm going to do that. I'll change my Tinder and Bumble to that and we'll see. Oh my God, it's actually so funny because I've had two emails on my Instagram actually, like two direct messages, and they're like, oh, hey, we just saw you on Bumble. We're wondering why you need to be on Bumble. Like,
yeah, Hannah, that's why my Bumble is fake.
Do you just put a fake name? How do you fake
it? No, I didn't put a fake name. I just put my first name, and then I put photos that aren't me, but they could be. And also, I even put a fake Halo picture. I found a dog that looks like Halo, but it's not Halo.
Oh, my God. So you've got, like, a stand-in dog for your online dating.
And a stand-in. Like, it's a profile with, like, blonde. It's Rachel Zoe in the med. Like, but it's, like, her side profile.
Oh, my God.
And, okay, I admit it. I had some glasses of wine when I did this. Both my best friends, my husband was out of town. And so I woke up the next morning.
There was no one there to stop you.
No, I woke up the next morning. I was like, what have I done? And then it became like a Candy Crush Saga game where I just got really into like, oh, I want to match with him. Let me just message him. I didn't really mean to like actually have to meet up with these people. I was like, oh, no.
No, I know. Well, do you know what I'm doing, Kate? I'm doing these things called express dates. So I had three of them on Saturday. So basically you tell the person, I can only meet you for one drink because I've got this afterwards or that afterwards. So then you have them in like three different pubs in the same location and you do one at 4, one at 5, one at 6, and then you're with your girlfriends at 7. And it's very like, boom, and you just go have a quick date with them and then see if you want to have another date.
Have you been speed dating lately?
Yeah, I did it on Saturday. Three express dates.
Did any of them work out, do you think, or have potential, or are you just glad that you kept it to less than an hour each?
No, so one of them, so not the first one and not the third one, but the second one, actually, we went on a second date.
Oh, wow, you're speed dating like, through the week. You already have one on a second date.
Yeah.
You're efficient. I like it.
Gotta make it happen.
Let's get to a little game I like to call Chief Stew versus Chief Stew.
Okay.
It's a little bit like what would you do, but we're just going to see if we'd handle these situations the same way. And hopefully it may even give some guidance to other yachties that are listening.
Okay.
Okay, so on this episode of Below Deck, the primary charter guest brings all of her girlfriends on the trip with her and gets pretty drunk. And she's a little overly flirty with Captain Lee, and then she gets upset when her... Oh my God, Captain Lee is calling me right now. That is so freaky. I swear. Okay. Like I said his name, my phone started ringing.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I'm going to accept. I'm going to put him on speaker.
Yeah, I have to say hi.
Hold on. Hey, Captain Lee. Kate. Just like he puts his wife on speaker but doesn't tell me. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
How are you?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Good.
What's up?
I saw that post that you put on Instagram that just blew up.
Oh, your birthday post? I know. I'm a little bit depressed, but happy for you that it's the post that's gotten the most likes out of my entire Instagram life. You're popular. You really are getting better with age. So I have a little birthday surprise for you.
You do?
Yes. You are actually you're on speakerphone with with my second half, Hannah.
I'm doing what?
And we're recording After Deck. Surprise! You called it right.
Hi, Captain Lee.
Hannah says hi.
Tell her I said hello.
He says hello.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, it's funny. I was just saying your name when you called in. Your ears were burning. So I'll That's call you amazing. Back in just a little bit, okay?
Yeah, I'm on my way to a cancer event to do some charity stuff. So
You're always on your way to a charity event.
I know.
That tuxedo with the epaulets gets a lot of use.
No, I'm got my pink sport coat on.
Oh, that's a goodie.
Doing pink this evening.
Well, I like it. Well, okay, well, text me when you're out or call me tomorrow.
No problem, sweetie.
All right, say hi to Marianne.
I will do that.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Sorry, Hannah, I had to answer. It's like the radio on the boat. If my phone rings from the captain, I feel like I have to answer. It's just ingrained in
yes.
me.
No, I agree.
Speaking of Captain Lee, back where we were, the drunk guest is really flirting with Captain Lee, as a lot of guests in that age demographic do. And then her friends are like trying to pull her away, like being good friends, but she gets like annoyed and upset and kind of turns on them.
Yeah.
And then she gets really emotional because she's had a lot of wine and she's kind of alienated herself from her friends, which are all of the other charter guests. And so then she takes me aside and it's like, I'm her shoulder to cry on.
Mm.
In your charter experience, late at night, you know, on yachts, guests tend to drink heavily.
Yes.
Have you ever had a problem where you couldn't get the primary to bed or you had to, like, resort to some kind of tactics to get the primary to go to bed? And how do you do it?
So it's such a hard situation. I actually had to stay up last season with one of the charter guests because we physically could not get her sister to bed because she'd passed out. So, and I felt so bad, like, leaving her on her own. So I ended up sitting up with her for about 2.5 hours just... She was drinking champagne and I had a Diet Coke and I was just keeping her company until her sister got conscious enough that we could kind of drag her into bed. So a chief stew's job's hard. We don't just do the service and, you know, make sure we've got the provisions on board. We've kind of got to make sure the guests are really okay as well, most like all the time. So I probably would have sat down, had a chat with her. And then, you know, sometimes you can kind of politely shove them towards the bedroom.
Yes. And you can get the guests to do anything you really want if you're really good at your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, I've turned your bed down. I've pulled the shades. I put another... You can even, like, put a glass of champagne on the nightstand as, like, bait.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like a bear trap.
It's
or
like
a mouse trap.
The donuts.
Like, come and get that piece of cheese. Just lay down.
Exactly.
Let's say, hypothetically... Your captain announces that you have a new crew member joining the boat for the remainder of the season, like we had happen this year with Kyle.
Yeah.
But this time it turns out that the yachty coming to join your crew happens to be an ex of yours, which could happen in yachting because it's such a small industry. Have you ever had, like, someone get hired on a boat where you're like, oh, yeah, we've met before?
No, I haven't. But I have actually ended up on a date with a guy that I'd already been on a date with, and I didn't actually realize that we'd already been on a date together until afterwards when he added me on Facebook and I realized the boat name. Because, like, if you meet someone in, like, Athens, for example, and you go for drinks with them, and then 3 years later you still have the same taste and you meet them in Antibes, it can happen. You meet a lot of people in 3 years. So, I haven't had it on a boat, but I have been on a date twice and didn't realize that I'd already knew him.
That's funny. Oh, let's face it. All South African deckhands are kind of the same, you know, or like whatever, like a yachty first mate. It's like, you're my type. Oh, we've already tried this. How did the second date go?
The second date was just really awkward because it was like halfway through that I kind of worked out that we'd already been on a date together. And then there's the awkward, do I tell him that we've already been there?
Well, did he know?
Or... No.
Oh, he didn't know either. Then no. If he doesn't know, you don't know, both of you, he's probably saying the same thing in his head, but, you know, I wouldn't be the first one to bring it up.
No. It was awkward. So then we saw each other in a club a few weeks later and he's like, why didn't you not call me back? I'm like, because... You were 2013's news, buddy. Can't be moving backwards.
Been there. Didn't do that. Okay, new hypothetical situation. Let's say the captain brings everyone to the wheelhouse and tells you guys that the charter guests have been bored with their experience. And despite things running smoothly, you have to really need to work together and pull out all the stops for this charter and blow their minds the next day and night. What would you do? Would you... like plan an extravagant theme party, like, you know, if your captain's like, we really need to step it up, what would be your go-to? Fireworks, costumes, farm animals?
I think it depends. Like, if we're at dock, then you kind of need to get them off, like, especially in Europe though. Like, I think it's a bit different for us because, you know, in Europe you can literally send them on the most amazing, like, on land adventure where they go underground to go and see caves that were used as a hospital in World War II, for example. You know, in St. Martin and St. Barts and stuff, there's not so much of that stuff to do. So, but if we were at anchor, I always like find it, depending on what guests they are, but if they're kind of fun, active guests, just doing like a kind of an obstacle course and getting them a bit competitive with each other, kind of doing like a girls versus boys or something like that, is always a good thing to do in the daytime. And then at night, it's just all about, kind of making them feel special. So when we're working in the Mediterranean, I always try and bring the culture from whatever country we're in onto the yacht, because I think that can kind of give them a bit of a standout experience.
Yeah, they're traveling to that area because they want to, like, experience it. So, and it makes your job easy because you just got to hire the local guitar player outside the local pub with has guitar case out. And they're like, wow, he's so authentic.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, yes, because I just picked him up off the street.
I just met him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask some fan questions. So this is from Rachel McGinty Mock at McGinty Mock on Twitter. And she asks, have you ever witnessed food poisoning on a charter? I would hope not.
I don't think so, no.
I mean, not with charter guests.
No, I've seen it with the crew.
Yeah, me too.
But that's probably because they were eating, you know, €1 kebabs from the streets of Göcek or something in Turkey from 3 a.m. So that wasn't so much our chef as the dodgy kebab man.
Well, we did have a food poisoning situation with our crew on Valor last season because Kyle, he didn't know that he was allergic to uni, which I guess technically is shellfish. And he went into his throat started swelling up and it was like his big night to be the drag queen theme party stars.
Oh, yeah.
So I just popped a Benadryl in his mouth, did his makeup while he was passed out, and he stole the show.
There you go. Onwards and upwards.
There. Yep. You got to be resourceful. We get trained in SCCW 95, which is awful. I actually had a nightmare 2 nights ago that I had to go redo it. I'm like, no, it hasn't been 5 years. But it's the worst.
I just had to do mine. It's awful.
Yeah. I did mine twice. And then I told myself I will never do this a third time. So for those of you guys who don't know, STCW 95 is the certification that if you want to get into yachting is necessary. And it only costs about $1,000. I don't know how much it costs in euros. Probably more. Everything's more expensive over there. But it's about a 5-day course. And the first 3 days are basic maritime safety. And the last 2 days are firefighting. And you put on the suit. And you put on the heavy tank. And you go into burning buildings. Like, I've got fires.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's awful. But what's funny is all the stewardesses hate it. All the deckhands love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for firefighting class. I'm like,
the worst, though, was the first time I did it. I was really, it was like my farewell week as well. So we were basically just partying every night. And then I was showing up in the daytime. I still pass. But like literally about a month later, I was on a yacht in the Med, a small boat with just me and the captain. And the boat caught fire. And I was sitting there going, oh, shit, I wish I wasn't so hungover and I was actually paying attention in this course because I kind of need those skills now. So
same.
If you do it, don't drink throughout the week. Just put your head down and know.
In your defense, it's kind of like when you cram for a test and then you vomit all the information to pass the test and then it's gone from your brain. Like,
yeah.
When we had a fire on Motor Yacht Eros, like the adrenaline and the fear, it overtakes your mind. You're like, all I remember is that there are three different kinds of fire extinguishers and you have to use the right one. So if I hadn't had the training, I would have just grabbed the fire extinguisher in the kitchen. But because of all my training, I was like, I don't remember what the right answer is, but I know there's a wrong answer.
No, it's so true. Well, honestly, it's, you know, you can do all that stuff in training and it is good to do, but once you're in the situation, it's so just adrenaline and instinct that really kind of help you.
And fires don't really happen that often unless your chef doesn't clean the oven. So speaking of Below Deck, let's move on to some questions from this season of Below Deck. I know you only got to watch one episode. You've been busy traveling. I'm not even sure it's airing and I'll show you at this point.
No, it is. I'm all up to date.
Oh, you are?
I am. Yes.
Okay. Give me a quick 1-minute rundown. Hannah's opinion of this season.
Okay, so Matt seems like a great chef when he concentrates. And Brie and Nico, not really sure what's going on there. I'm trying to work out whether he's actually broken up with his girlfriend or he's just doing both at the moment. So I can't work that out. Jen is driving me insane. I've had those stewardesses before that just think that they are doing 10 times more work when really they're just bitching. And I do not know how you didn't backhand her after that whoring comment. I just sat there. I was like fuming for you. Who else is there? There's the deck crew then. Bruno. He was, he seems helpful and stuff like that. no opinion on him. Charter guests seem good. Captain Lee's awesome as always. Who have I missed out on?
Baker.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I have to ask you this. What's with the Yaman all the time? Why?
Honestly, she is gorgeous. She's good at her job. She's agreeable. She was like really, it's a really important quality in a yachty, which I'm sure you'll agree that they just kind of go with the flow. So she's like a cool man. She's female Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. Think really? About
it. All right. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
She's also kind of like one of those toys that has the string in the back that you pull out and they have like five sayings that they repeat. Like she's just, I love that she chose sayings that are just like appreciative, celebratory. And so whenever anything was going wrong or there was drama, she's like, all right, yeah, man. Like she just,
yeah, man.
Other cast members or crew members, they maybe talk too much. So I kind of think that perhaps more yachties should adopt like a five positive slogan vernacular vocabulary. You get five phrases you can say in a season. What would yours be?
Yeah.
Mine would be my pleasure. Well, first it would start with, can I get you a drink? My pleasure.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And it's actually one of those things where you just like in your head, you need to be like, okay, every time you say my pleasure, just when they're awful charter guests, you just replace it with something else. So in your own head, you're really insulting them, but coming out your mouth, you seem.
Yeah. When I say, okay, perfect, it means f- my life. And when I just say, okay, it means you.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if I can't even add perfect on, it's just like, okay.
That's as
okay. So I would add, can I get you anything to drink? My pleasure. Okay. Perfect. And okay.
Actually, mine would probably be, it was so nice to have you on board. And when I say it in that tone, like, it's just like, get the fuck off this boat. I need a cocktail.
So your voice goes down when you're being like fake nice and mine goes up. I'm like,
patronizing. Yeah, you're like...
I'm like, and we have something arranged for you? Which I think you might... It's like, I am right on the edge of jumping on this boat. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm like trying not to like clobber them over the head. So yeah, it was such a pleasure having you on board. Now get off.
I like the downward annotation. I'm going to copy that. We're so yin and yang. Okay, now you did bring up Matt. And I think that I'm a little surprised, but actually I'm guilty too of how generous you were with him. You're like, he seems like he can be good when he concentrates. Does he? I mean, what in your mind is a good chef? A good yacht chef?
A good yacht chef to me is somebody that they're usually quite volatile, and I haven't seen him being volatile at all, just drunk on the beach.
There's your first sign.
I know. And like, even like, I kind of wouldn't even trust a non-alcoholic chef because they're supposed to be alcoholic. So I get the drunk on the beach, but then I don't know, in the galley, there's no like panaz, like you need that fire. And to me, a great charter chef is someone who can be super inventive because I hate serving the same stuff every day. I think it's boring. But also they need to be consistent. It can't be like one good meal and then three semi-okay meals and meal. It needs to be like every meal is like the last meal you're gonna cook in your life, and you're cooking for the f-ing queen. Like, bring it every time. So I think, yeah, that's not really happening on board at the moment. But
cook for your life, Matt.
Yes, exactly. Cook for the queen.
Yeah, exactly. And so basically, they need to be consistently, but like inconsistent. Like, don't make the same thing, but
yeah,
keep it up. Always change it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is so nice, though. He's so nice. So,
well, he's Canadian,
have you ever,
isn't he?
I know.
They're like the nicest people in the world.
I know.
It's like annoying.
If any other chef had ever... It's kind of... Actually, I think they're not that nice. I think they're geniuses. Because any other chef, I would have been like, can we stop making mahi salads? Okay. But he's so nice that I felt bad saying anything. So maybe it's genius. Yeah, he can get away with being, you know, same old, because at least I'm nice. Just kiss people's asses, basically.
Yeah. Well, I guess, but we would never be able to do that, Kate.
Yeah.
We're far too honest.
My pleasure. Do you think charter guests expect less or more from yacht chefs as opposed to restaurants? Like, do you think that the setting, ambiance, the great service from the chief stew, the champagne flowing, makes them kind of overlook the food? It's just like a part of the whole equation? Or do you think that because they're on a yacht, they expect it to be even better?
I think honestly, like, I would expect it to be even better because you're paying so much more than you would pay at a restaurant. And what charter guests never understand, though, is in a restaurant, you have a team of chefs, dishwashing boys, everything, like a big team. On a yacht, it's usually one chef and then sometimes a deckhand helping out. So I think it's like there's a lot more pressure on the yacht chef. But if they know what they're doing, to me as well, like, I don't know what it is with chefs, but they hate planning. So I'm like, why don't, before the charter, you put, like, you look at their preference sheets and put your meal plans together for the entire charter. And then if you have, like, a spare hour or if you've got a deckhand, he can start doing prep for caramel for your dessert for tomorrow because that can sit in the fridge. And I think that's, like, honestly a chief stew's way of thinking. But I don't know.
No, that's the key.
Yeah.
Mise en place. Everything in place.
Yeah. Just prepare yourself. But yeah. They don't do that.
No. A lot of them don't because they're creative. They're like want to just think on the fly. But so planning would be like a succumbing to weakness.
Yeah, I know, but it'd help when you're going to serve lobster to actually have the lobster on board.
That's I'm glad you brought that up. So I've never worked with Adam. How do you enjoy that? You guys had a little bit of struggle on your season, but you ended up being friends.
Yeah.
And at least he had pretty inventive food, right?
I wasn't, like, to be honest, it was inventive, but the standard in the med, Kate. Like, I've worked with Michelin chefs and stuff like that where they will literally, like, be throwing pots and pans and going crazy and I've got to try and keep them calm. But when that food comes out...
It's amazing.
It's Michelin, yeah, style. So when it's like, you know, I'm serving, like, cookies for dessert or, like, soups and salads for every single starter, I was just really unimpressed. But like I said, I've come from such a high standard that I think it's a little bit more relaxed in the Caribbean. Like, it's not so crazy as it is in the Med, in terms of that kind of stuff. But he was just a little bit, he was so distracted all season.
That's true.
And that's really annoying. Like, when you're sitting there doing your job, and I didn't really like my crew very much. So it was like, I'm sitting here and I can get past all this stuff that's going on with, you know, the constant knives in my back and stuff. You should be able to get over a f***ing crush and do your job, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the good thing about Adam is he's got the skills and potential. So I would love to see what he can do when he's not distracted.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of food and being subpar or whatever, have you ever sent food back at a restaurant? Because I feel like I'm really particular about service when I'm dining out, but I'm like really a picky diner, but I'm also a service heart, so I never send stuff back really, ever. But yeah. Unless it's like cold,
uneatable.
Burned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm the same, but like I must admit, you have such a different standard and you notice different things when you've been in like such a high-end service industry for such a long time. Like, and little things will get to me. Like, I like, especially if my wine glass is empty and I look up and there's like the two waitresses
talking,
like, giggling in the corner on their phone or something. I'm like, hey, girls,
I know.
I want to tip you. I really do, but I need more wine.
I feel bad for my husband. I'll be like, I'll just interrupt what he's saying and be like, look how much fun they're having. Well, my wine glass is empty. That's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're ever going to come up. I wonder what they're talking about. It's so important. Oh, hi. Oh, thank you so much. Like, I never, like, complain, but I would complain more to my poor best friend than I do to the wait staff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same. I sit there and bitch to the person. And I even did it. I took mum to a winery the other day for lunch, and I was, like, so annoyed at the meal. And then, like, I'm like, it's this, it's that, it's overcooked, it's too salty, blah, blah, blah. And then they came, they're like, oh, how was your meal? I'm like, it was great. Thank you. Can we get the bill?
Thank you.
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. That's why I haven't eaten any of it.
It's so funny. It's so true. You're like, it's wonderful, but we yelp to our dining companions, not to the actual staff. Because honestly, the staff's not going to care. They're just trying to make their money, go home, end their shift. Now moving on to the second biggest issue that I dealt with this season. I mean, Matt wasn't a huge issue, but it was kind of. But the bigger problem or bigger issue that I had was Jen. And Have you ever, I admit, I may have been a little bit more lenient with her because actually I went somewhere today and the people were like, I've been watching Below Deck. How did you deal with Jen? I said, I think that because she had a child at such a young age, I think she's smart, but I think she socially hasn't adapted. Like, she's frozen in time from when she exited the social world, which was, like, 9 years ago. So she's still, she's, like, socially immature, but she's still smart. Yeah. And so I think I had a soft spot for her because I couldn't raise a kid. I mean, Halo woke up coughing today, and I, like, made an emergency vet appointment, practically closed Genesis Boutique. I'm like, close everything. Baby's got a cough. Like, I can't imagine raising a child. So I think I kind of was lenient with her. Have you ever had a stewardess that you were kind of more forgiving or lenient with?
Probably last season, actually, with Lauren, because it was almost like, so you know, like when a puppy like is trying to start walking and they just kind of hop, like wobbling around, knocking into walls, blank look on their face. That's kind of how I felt it was with Lauren. So like, as much as I wanted to like, as much as she was frustrating me, I'd like walk downstairs, she's ironing and crying. I'd go into the cabin, she's making a bed and crying. She's cleaning a toilet and crying. And like at the start, you're like, oh my God, what's wrong? And then like 5-6 times later, you're like, would you stop with the blubbering? I'm like really done with this. But she was, there was like things that I wanted her to improve on, but I, it's almost like I knew she was trying her best.
Yes.
And it's like you, I couldn't like, if I, you know, it's like pushing a puppy over that's trying to learn how to walk. It's just kind of.
It's like, puppy, I need you to be a guide dog. That puppy is never going to be a guide dog. Like, it's just too much to ask of them. But I think it's all about, I think that Jen's intentions were good.
Yeah.
It's intentions for me that matters, because there's no way that Jen was going to learn all that she, like, to become a second stew in her first 6 weeks thrown in the deep end of charter yachting. Yeah. And I,
but I must admit, Kate, I really didn't like how she would speak to you. So there's like, you can try your best to do your job to, you know, to the best capacity you can, even if you're not quite there yet. To be honest, in yachting, it's a hierarchy. It's military-based style ranking. And to have a third stewardess call her boss a whore and be, like, so blatantly rude and disrespectful, that's what would have driven me insane. I would have been like, I don't really care what your personal opinion is of me. I am your boss. You do not speak to me like that, or you will be fired so quickly. Like, that to me drove me a bit crazy when I was watching, to be honest.
Well, I'll explain it this way. That saying, ignorance is bliss, is true, because I didn't realize. I thought we were funny bantering the whole time. I didn't know she was, like, actually upset, because she would alternate between the two. Like, 1 minute she'd be laughing with me, the 1 minute she was, like, being serious. So, I really didn't know she was so upset. So, there are a few times this season where Jen has had too much to drink, and we all know that in yachting, drinking and working go hand in hand. You know, work hard, play hard. Yeah. But Jen would get pretty wild.
I'm going to bed. No one else is on the boat. And Baker's like, swam under the, like, the catamarans.
Jen, I can hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. They just don't make any sense.
Stop.
What's your strategy for dealing with a crew member who's had too much to drink? Or what would be a deal breaker for you where you'd be like, you know what, enough is enough?
So the one thing that really frustrates me, I guess, is like I go out and party and get drunk with the best of them. But I'm more of a like happy, dance around, fun person when I'm drunk. And I don't like when people know that they either are going to get drunk and get sloppy and messy, or they're going to get drunk and they're going to get aggressive. If you know that, just control how much you drink. Like, we're adults here. We need to take responsibility. You can't, like, always be blaming the fact that you were drunk for your shitty behavior. So I, honestly, if it's been more than once with a person and they're either sloppy and need looking after, or they get aggressive, I actually just leave them alone. I just tell them to stay away from me, and I stay away from them, because at the end of the day, it kind of ruins your night out. And we need to be able to go and blow off steam when we're in the middle of when we're in the middle of a charter season like that. Like, our night out is precious. It's precious, precious time that needs to be enjoyed. Like, I don't want to be looking after and babysitting adults who can't handle their alcohol.
No, I babysit drunk guests while we're working. I certainly...
Yeah.
Maybe I want somebody to babysit me.
Yeah, exactly.
Put me to bed. Tuck me in. Give me my bottle.
Yeah, go and get me another bottle of Veuve.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
Veuve is my favorite champagne.
Me too.
Do you know why I like it? A few reasons, and then I want to hear yours. Because it's like... very crisp, and it tastes like a higher end champagne, but it's at a reasonable price point.
Yeah,
you know, it's doable without being ridiculous, like a rap video or something. But also, it has an anchor on the logo. I just think it's, I just love it.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I love a good theme.
You do. I actually realized my girlfriend pointed out, she's like, you know, your tattoo, your anchor tattoo, and I was like, yeah. She's like, did you get it off the Veuve bottle? And I was like, no, and I looked and it's basically the exact same anchor. So,
well,
I've
you should
got that anchor tattooed on me.
Well, let's, hey, Veuve Clicquot, if you're listening, Hannah got your logo tattooed on her ankle, so I think you should send us both cases.
Yeah, or two. Mm-hmm. We'd never turn down a case of champagne.
Never. Well, Hannah, I know you're heading off to Thailand, not Tahiti. So I'll let you go pack. I'm so jealous. I wish I could jump in your suitcase or meet you there. But one of these days we'll have to get a Veuve-filled beach vacay together.
I know. I actually think that you're probably my closest friend who I've never met in my life.
Same. I mean, we've never really met. I mean, I've met a lot of people I don't like, so it only makes sense that I really like someone I haven't met. It's like balance.
Exactly. It makes up for all the assholes we've got in front of our faces.
All the time. My pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Of course.
It was great to catch up.
You guys voted on this week's Twitter poll of Yachty and Dinghy of the Week at After Deck Tweets, and I completely agree with you guys. For the first time, and I think it's about time, at 30% of you guys' votes, we've got Brie winning Yachty of the Week. And she's a hard worker, and she goes unnoticed because she doesn't cause a lot of drama or speak up too often, but that in itself is a very valuable characteristic in a crew member. So yay, Brie, you've won Yachty of the Week. And you guys voted, and your Dinghy of the Week at a landslide. Majority rules, 68% is Jen. You know, I agree with you guys, and I think it's fair. The public has spoken. Thank you so much to Hannah for joining me, especially considering it's tomorrow in Australia and she's headed to Thailand. And thank you all for listening. I know it may seem like I'm not always the biggest fan of my crew on Below Deck, but at the end of the day, we're one big happy family. So from our boat family to your family, happy Thanksgiving. I'll be back next Wednesday for another episode of After Deck. In the meantime, share your questions with us at After Deck Tweets on Twitter and at After Deck Insta on Instagram. I'd love to hear what you guys have been wondering about this season or about yachting in general. You may get to hear your question answered on next week's show. So go ahead and ask me anything. Well, almost anything. I've got to keep some things a little mystery still. Don't forget to vote for your pick for Yachty and Dinghy of the Week on our Twitter poll and tune in Tuesday nights at 9, 8 central for a new episode of Below Deck on Bravo TV.
You are now listening to the After Deck.